Welcome back to the 1-2 Kentucky Blue Podcast. I'm your host, Coach John Spurlock. Thank you so much for tuning in today. The host for today's episode is Coach Stephen Strobis. He sits down with one of our current student athletes, Charity Huffnagel, who is a part of our UK track and field team. Like always, I hope you enjoy their conversation.
So I saw you about 2 hours ago. How you been?
Good.
It's been good. Well, let's start with, who are you?
My name's Charity Huffnagel.
Okay. And you are what year?
I am a fifth year.
Okay. First year at UK?
Yes, my first year at UK. Previous four was at Ball State.
Okay. And what do you do?
I do track and field here, and I do the heptathlon, which is 7 different events, and I also compete in the open high jump as an individual eventer.
Mm-hmm. And what got you into that?
Ever since I started track when I lived in Germany, and it was in my fifth grade, and I did this thing called CYS, like Children Youth Services, and they did like track, and I started running with my dad out in like the woods and stuff because my dad was stationed there. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then moved to America, continued doing it in school or?
Yeah, I did. I started cross country in middle school and then gotten more of the track high jump stuff also through middle school. And continued to cross country all the way through high school as well. Mm-hmm. And then two of my brothers were decathletes. And I liked the idea of doing all the different events because I could never really settle for one event.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, oh, let me try this one. And then I got to college. I was like, hey, can I do it? Mm-hmm. Like, sure.
And then, so in high school, mm-hmm. I'm recruited to be a multi-athlete.
Pretty much just high jumper because that was my only really solid mark, mm-hmm. was the high jump. So that's where kind of the scholarship came through, was okay. Just that, but yeah.
So, and that was, who was your coach at Ball State?
Coach Edelman. Yes. For the first 2 years and okay. Then Coach Adrian Wheatley for the last 2 years.
Yes. So 4 years at Ball State went okay.
Yeah. It went good. Yeah.
Tell me about your last year there.
My last year there, for indoor nationals, I went in the pent and indoor high jump. I was doing really, really well indoors in the high jump and then got injured, was trying to make my way back up the ladder, working all towards that outdoor season, trying to find my groove again, mm-hmm. kind of find myself in that same spot right now. But, and then I was upset that I didn't make it in the heptathlon for outdoors. I just missed it. I was at the 25th spot and it was top 24 that make it. Mm-hmm. And I got to outdoor nationals. I was like, you know what? I got to wipe this from my head. Doesn't matter. I'm not here for hep. I'm here just for high jumps. So I got to really focus on. So the day of, I was just ready to go. I was excited. And then, and I won outdoor nationals. So that was really
just
exciting.
Casually won outdoor nationals. That's awesome though. And you know, obviously we know, right. Mm-hmm. The multi-events, like you train everything. You train the jumps, obviously you throw the throws in there. You do your running events, obviously. Was it that, you know, with coming back from the injury, you kind of just focused into the high jump or was it just kind of like with everything peeled away, was that all you could do? Or how did that process kind of shake out?
I didn't really give myself a ton of recovery because it was like right after conference and I had to get ready for indoor nationals and then the injury, there were heel bruises. Mm-hmm. And so it was just a matter of like just what I could tolerate. And I didn't really just train for the high jump. I kind of still try to train for everything. And then comes outdoor conference, and I think I just lost like everything because only clearing 5'8" for the open high jump. Mm-hmm. And then I started just really, really digging deep into it, my high jump approach and what I could possibly be doing wrong. And then prelims came together a little bit better and then allowed me to gain more confidence. I almost did short approach at prelims just to qualify for nationals, but I didn't. Mm-hmm. So
short approach versus the longer approach.
Yeah.
What's the biggest difference between those two?
Six step is just more, it's easier to be more consistent with it. And it's like, you don't put a lot of thought into it. It's just like push and then just run up to the bar and jump. And yeah. I was clearing 6 feet with that by itself. And so, and that's what's required to qualify to nationals. I was clearing that consistently with my short. So I was like, I mean, if I really don't want to risk it,
yeah.
Or let's see if I can put together my full approach, and I was able to. So, yeah.
Everything just clicked at the right time.
Yes.
So that was last year. That was spring of 2023. Talk me through kind of the, you know, getting in contact with Coach Grimes, the transition to here. What's been kind of that transition like for you?
So I actually reached out to Coach Grimes in his DMs on Instagram and in the fall, and I joined the transfer portal. I only visited this school and then another school, and I had my eye pretty set over here because I have known like Coach Grimes' like previous success with other athletes. Also, I knew I was going to be married at the time too, and I didn't want to be super far mm-hmm. from Noah, my husband, and then. So as soon as I got connected, I came on my visit. Hardly anybody knew I was in the transfer portal because I entered so early, pretty much as soon as the school year started.
Yeah.
And pretty much as soon as I got here, I kind of committed on spot. They didn't put it up until obviously I graduated from Ball State.
Yeah.
But now the transition was really smooth up until I broke my toe.
And how'd you do that?
It was on my honeymoon and like the first day of it. And I knew I wasn't in season and that I wasn't going to be training anytime soon. And we went to Sky Zone.
You had fun.
We had fun. Yes. We were there for a while. And then I started challenging myself because I naturally just get competitive with myself. Like, oh, let me try this. Oh, I couldn't land that. Let me try landing that. Mm-hmm. I'll just keep going. And I just don't have a stop button. So I went down the slide. And then as I came up, I did a front flip out of it, landed my knees over toes and hyperextended and chipped a bone off my toe.
Yes.
And then put me in a cast for a month with the scooter. But before that, I didn't believe for a second that it was broken because I was running on it and everything. I went hiking in the Smoky Mountains with it. Mm-hmm. I was running.
So from there, right, that's what, around summer?
Yeah, that was like August. Yeah, early August. Okay. I broke it. And then I started having tons of other injuries after that because mm-hmm. then I'd be compensating with my right, and then I started having complications with that, and then hamstring issues. So, I mean, it's been a rough transition in the beginning, but I love that the coaches, the trainers, and, like, they just all knew, like, what to do to try to get me back mm-hmm. as smoothly as possible, trying to prevent further injury and knowing when to stop me because I don't like to stop myself.
That stop button. It's not there.
That stop button. But, yeah, other than that, like other than the fault that I had, like coaches and trainers did such a great job with trying to help me transition. Mm-hmm. And I am where I'm at now. And I think definitely just starting to feel like fully myself again after all of that, because it was just injury after injury. And then, mm-hmm. yeah. And then of course I sprained my ankle right before an indoor conference.
Yeah.
So there was that too.
And that was kind of a scramble a little bit because obviously you've been training great. We've got you back fully. Indoor season was looking really good just in terms of what we were piecing together. So obviously still go to conference. And what happened there?
I won them in the pentathlon.
SEC gold.
Yes. And I mean, high jump didn't go as well. Again, I was just trying to find that groove again. I'm still in that. But I think we're starting to find that again. Mm-hmm. So, but I was glad I was able to piece together a pentathlon for the team and put up points there. So,
yeah. Yeah. And, you know, one thing I do kind of want to spotlight for the people listening is for you, you've been a really, really interesting athlete because obviously you come in, you've got all this years of experience with training. One thing that's been very unique working with you is that you aren't just an athlete that's like, hey, what do I do? We tell you what to do. And then you go and do it to the absolute ability. You give us ideas as well. You are very in tune with your body. A well-oiled machine is the way I would put it. And that's why it's been, I think, so productive, so good and effective, you know, working with trainers, working with coaches, me as your strength coach, is that it's a collaborative experience. It's not just us tell you what to do and then you go and do it. What do you think about that? I don't know if we've ever really chatted about that.
Yeah. I really think that's great because I know it's like, I think everybody's aware that it's always like a big transition, especially if you've been training such a certain way for so long too. So I've been very thankful that like everybody's been so collaborative mm-hmm. and that I was willing to like communicate and figure out like the best way possible to try and get me to where we all want me to be. And yeah, I'm very appreciative of that, honestly. And it's just been make transition even easier.
Mm-hmm. I'll never forget the conversation Coach Grimes and I had after you had committed and we were talking about you getting here and we were kind of chatting about your training, the way you've done things, your preparation, kind of your process for you individually. And I'll never forget, he said, Strobus, you don't tell a lion how to grow claws. I was like, I don't really get what you're saying, but I thought about it a little more and I was like, you know, you're a very athletic person. You have experience, you know what you're doing. So working with you has all been, again, beneficial for me as a coach, because I've gotten to learn a lot about what helps you out versus maybe somebody else on the jump squad, different approaches, what you learned at Ball State between your two coaches you had there, and just continuing to keep pushing the envelope a little bit. So outside of that, tell me a little bit about maybe not so much where you're at right now, right? But let's turn the clocks back to what was your freshman year?
What was my freshman year like?
Yeah, well, or, not what was it like, but when was it? What year was it?
It was 2019 to 2020.
2019 was freshman year?
Yes.
Talk me through what 2024 Charity would tell 2019 Charity right now.
I would tell her that, well, I guess I'll tell me whatever I was saying. that your success is not only dependent on what coaches may be telling you, it's all, most of it is dependent on what you do outside of practice, not just what you do at practice. Because I tell you what, like as soon as I started to take things and stop blaming others for how I was doing, I started blaming myself, and that's when things started to turn around. So mm-hmm. I wish I could just realize that sooner.
Yeah.
That, yeah.
And was that, you know, was there like a moment where you realized that, or was it kind of like, you know, you started to take things into your own control, right? Whether it be the eating, the sleeping, mm-hmm. the things that I feel like I get paid to literally say the same three things over is eat well, sleep a lot, hydrate. But on that note, was it something like that, or was there a kind of a moment for you?
There's kind of like a moment. It was like the end of my sophomore year. I set my mind on a goal. And
what was that goal?
That was to jump 5'9" and high jump.
Okay.
And it was after I sprained my ankle before conference. My sophomore year as well.
Yes.
It was actually the day before.
Oh, goodness.
And I competed in the pent.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah. And that was what it wrote, but it's okay. But the end of my sophomore year, I just realized, I was like, okay, I'm going to set my goal on something. And no matter what anybody says, because I got wide eyes, or like, at that point, I was only jumping 5'2", 5'4", maybe 5'5", from like the beginning of the year. And I was like, okay, this is what I got to do it. I started doing exercises outside of practice, adding a little bit more volume. And then I started taking accountability for what I'm eating all the time and trying to sleep and hydrate well, be way more, what do you call it? Oh, what's the word for it?
Intentional.
Yes, intentional. That's the word for it. I was just being way more intentional with everything that I was doing. And then I started going on a progression. Like after I sprained my ankle, I came in the middle of outdoor season. It was 5'2", 5'5". Then I went to 5'7". And then by outdoor conference, I hit the 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
And
goal checked.
Yes, that was the goal checked. I went to the prelims, didn't make it out, but that was, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I was able to go off of that energy into summer and then come back for outdoor.
Yeah.
I mean, indoor season, the next indoor season. Yeah.
And that's a, you know, a lot of people, when they think of the track and field year, there's still some people that don't quite see that, you know, indoor versus outdoor. They're two separate seasons, both from a competition standpoint, not only the events that you're doing, like the HEP versus the PENT, but also academically in terms of like compliance, right? You can have an indoor and an outdoor season, or you can have just one or the other.
Yes.
So that changes things, right? Like, let's say you sit out for an injury, you redshirt an outdoor season, you can still compete that indoor versus vice versa. If you redshirt an indoor, you can still come back for outdoor.
Yes.
Right? But you just kept chugging.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I never redshirted. But I have a COVID year. So
yes.
That.
Yes. We're so thankful.
Yes.
Because that brought you here.
Yes, it did. It did bring me here.
But, you know, from that kind of standpoint, you know, talk me through picking the Maltese, right? What's your favorite?
High jump.
High jump, right. You didn't pick high jump. You've got six other events. What's your favorite?
Hurdles. I never did hurdles. I didn't even do most of the events in high school, but I really like the hurdles. Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Kind of the last thing I was really wanting to just harp on is, you know, you mentioned you started taking the outside thing serious, the what you were eating, being intentional about that, the hydration or the sleep. Talk to me a little bit about like what the weight room has meant for you, obviously starting your career, but now getting into the end of your collegiate career, your post-collegiate kind of aspirations. What has the weight room kind of meant for you? And not just working with me, just in general.
Yeah, the weight room, I feel like, does so much for me because it makes me feel just a lot more confident in what I'm, if I'm constantly improving the weight room, it makes me feel more confident in what I'm doing at practice as well. So it's definitely a confidence booster when I know if I'm performing well here, there's no reason why I shouldn't be performing well, producing more power also out in the track. So I feel like in those ways, just how the success carries over from here to the track. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I mean, high jump is a very power output style point. So, you know, we've done the gym aware, we've done things off of blocks, off the ground, different types of training in a block periodization model. But it's also been, you know, like you said, it's directly correlates, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we've reflected that in the weight room. We lift once a week, twice a week. Mm-hmm. Really, again, that's been our collaborative kind of experience, is talking with you, seeing what you need and what we can give you from our end to make sure, yes, we're obviously still lifting, we're training, we're keeping you in a healthy state, but we're also recognizing that there's a lot of load coming from the track as well.
Yes.
And Coach Grimes is great about that. I think that's one of his biggest things, is he's very in tune with what training does to the body and how that's going to affect the weight room, how that's going to affect the athlete, how that's going to affect the performances. Well, kind of on that note, let's peel back from sports entirely. What did you major in?
Exercise science.
Okay. Yeah. And what's kind of the goal with that? Obviously, probably, I'm assuming, something with sports?
Yes. I'm kind of just open to whatever opportunities, whatever kind of God kind of shows me what opportunities available, whether if that's coaching, personal training, or could be something entirely different. Mm-hmm. I really don't know.
Yeah.
I don't even know where I'm going to be in the next few months, you know?
What would you want to do? I mean, you've talked about coaching before. Is that track and field coaching? Is that personal training? What type of coaching would you want to get into?
I would like to do track and field training, whether if that be at like a club or honestly, wherever. I'm a really go with the flow kind of person.
Yes. Yes.
And if that's personal training, I do enjoy that. Maybe personal training athletes.
Mm-hmm. So outside of, obviously, you know, we here at Kentucky, we're in April right now. We've got Florida next week, then our home meet, Drake Relays, SECs. But what's next for you? What's kind of on the back burner but is coming quickly for you? What's this summer look like with the Olympics as well?
Yes. So I'll be going to the Olympic trials. So to now to then, I'm definitely keeping my eyes out on that and trying to not think too far ahead and get in my head like, oh, I got to get ready for this and stress myself out about it. It's like taking one step at a time, being more present, as Coach Franz always talks about.
Yeah.
I struggle with. But definitely setting my eyes on the 2024 Olympics. I've actually always said, like, the end of high school, like my senior year, I said 2024 Olympics. I've always said that, even though I wasn't that great of an athlete.
Yeah.
I've always said it. And so I think it's really cool that I'm able to qualify for Olympic trials and really give myself a shot. So.
And that will be in Eugene the third and fourth week of June. But, you know, working with Abby last year or 2 years ago when she was finishing out her collegiate career here, one of the things we talked about again was that post-collegiate kind of goals. But, you know, going home meet, finishing out your collegiate career, you know, finishing that, going for SEC championships, going for NCAA regional championships, NCAA finals championships, then Olympic trials. That's a lot of champions back to back. Does that kind of sit with you, or do you see it as every meet's kind of the same and you're just going to go out and compete?
I'm just going to go out and compete. I know it's like a lot of competitions, but I feel like coaches more than well, like, prepare me. I've never done so much volume in my life.
Yeah.
That's definitely one different thing. But I noticed myself being less fatigued simply after a pent or a heptathlon. I'm able to recover out of it much faster because of all the volume. So I feel that I'm going to be more than well prepared to compete in those championships back to back and be just fine.
But anything else to add? I mean, just thinking through the weight room, training, your time here at UK, I mean, the floor is yours.
Ooh. I'm just really excited. I'm really happy to be here and love being surrounded by coaches who care just as much as you do and keep you accountable for absolutely everything, making sure you're eating, doing the right things, getting enough sleep. They're asking you those questions. So it's always nice knowing that even though maybe you don't have parents, siblings or anything around, friends maybe to even keep you accountable, like, you can count on the coaches, like, to just ask you those questions. And it's like, oh yeah, I gotta make sure I gotta do that. Thanks for reminding me.
I think one of the big things is, you know, I talk to my tennis players about this a lot, is one of the biggest things about coming to college is you have a strength coach, a nutritionist, athletic trainer, a coach for your sport, sometimes even two, depending on where you're at. Once you go like pro and everything like that, that kind of goes away. And most athletes will struggle with that, but I don't think I see you struggling with that too much.
I feel like all the way through my first, so I have three different assistant coaches throughout my 4 years at Ball State that has worked with me. And so I kind of had to learn to do things my, like, it sounds bad, but I learned to kind of like take it back and be very in tune with myself and learn how to be very communicative. And I feel like this definitely has carried on to this year where everybody's keeping you accountable, you know, and I'm used to being like, oh, well, I do it. I get so in tune with, I don't know how to explain it. Sorry.
That's fine.
No, I learned the past 4 years to be so in tune with myself that I feel like after this year, it's not really going to be a struggle. Because the past 4 years, I feel like I've kind of been doing it myself. Because with all the different transitions, it's not just a transition from Ball State to here, but it's been a transition pretty much all 4 of my years at Ball State. So
yeah. Well, I mean, that's equipped you, right, with the knowledge of, hey, this is the lift style that works. This is what I like to do 2 days out from a competition, you know, 1 day out, something like that. But, you know, again, you have a very good sense of what works for you. And again, you don't teach a tiger how to grow claws. So with that in mind, I mean, thank you so much for coming on. This is, again, part of our, we're interviewing a good chunk of our athletes. We've done softball, gymnastics, we've done track and field now. Really just getting a good insight of what does the weight room mean for our athletes, not just on a, oh, we come in, we get stronger, bigger, faster, whatever it is, but what does it help them on an individual? And I think really, really crushed that.
So. Oh, thank you.
Yeah, of course. Well, thank you so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you.
And that is our episode for today. I hope you enjoyed it. Like always, if you have any feedback or comments, please don't hesitate to email us at ukstrength@uky.edu. Thanks and go Cats.